Good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together this morning. Once again, in your name, Lord, and thank you for the beautiful weather that we've been having. And just thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, for your love for us here, redeeming power, Lord. In each one of our lives, Lord, I pray that you would just speak through me and Emmanuel and any else that would have anything to share, that you would help us to only say that which you would have us to say, Lord, and that you would speak to each one of our hearts, Lord, and help it to be a blessing and encouragement to each one here. Thank you for all that you do again, Lord, and many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was kind of the last couple of weeks at a loss as to what I should share. And just kept thinking, I don't know, Lord. I'm not seeing a real clear direction in this. But so as I kept thinking about it, I thought, well, maybe I'll just share a lot of different things that God has done for me as I have been growing up and come to know him, and some different things that I've dealt with in my life and how God has redeemed me from a lot. I'm going to start with reading Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I grew up in a church-going home. We all know, most of you know my family quite well. And we had a lot of Bible, a lot of good teaching, a lot of different churches that we went to that taught the Bible. A lot of things that weren't necessarily always lived out. Overall, it was, you know, we had, you know, had a lot of good times and things like that. Some things happened when I was quite young that were very harmful to children. And I dealt with some of those things. And it really impacted my life greatly. As I grew up, it was quite frustrating for me to deal with these things and understand these things. And our family, I want to be careful, but there was not a lot of love, I guess, godly love. There's a lot of just, yeah, we were the Pratt family. You know, a lot of people thought that we were the latest and greatest in a lot of ways, and that's what we kind of grew up with. We grew up with a lot of, inside, a lot of hate and discontent. People thought, oh, they, you know, seems like they're always happy people. They're always just, everything's great. Everything's good. Nothing could go wrong. That was quite the opposite. Growing up, I was very frustrated. I knew that I had problems. I had big problems. I felt like, and it was a lie from the devil. I know that now, but I was the only one that was dealing with these things. And I know everybody here deals with that. If you don't think that anybody else has ever dealt with things in your life, different things that you might be dealing with, don't believe it. It is a complete lie. We all have dealt with things. Well, I was growing up, had a lot of serious problems, a lot of things that I was dealing with. didn't know where to go. Didn't seem like there was very rarely any love, God's true God's love, poured out into us as children. It was always if you were found out that you did something really bad, didn't matter what it was, it was great wrath. It was just like, you did what? And it was like, no mercy. Not always, but the majority of the time. And I, growing up, it was like, whenever I had something to deal with, we were not ever really in a church body that we are really close to, that we are members with, and that we were always kind of, not that it was necessarily said directly, but you just didn't trust anybody. Don't trust anybody. It was never said that way, but that was it was almost implied that, you know, if you have anything that you need to talk about, you talk about it with your parents. Well, we didn't dare to, because there was so much lack of mercy. Well, I knew something was wrong, and I desperately wanted to help. And I remember just not knowing where to go. Didn't have brothers in the church to talk to. For some of you, all of you young people or older people, something that is a blessing here is you all can go to people and talk to them. Don't feel like you can't do that, because people want to help in this congregation. From what I've seen, I want to be a help to each one of you, and I know the rest of you do too. I grew up just living in sin, just full of just junk. I remember we started going to the Brethren Church, and we somehow knew how to put on a really good front. We were just, you know, faultless. Everything was great. Everything was going good. Just what could go wrong? You know, we loved the Lord, and, you know, we were saved and all this stuff. Well, I had friends there that I, people that I got to know and be good friends with. And they thought, wow, this, you know, I remember different people commenting to me, well, you're such a good example to this guy or this person. And one good friend of mine, you all know Andrew Booker, we became good friends and different points in his young years when he was struggling. I know people would say, oh, you're such a good example to Andrew. I wasn't even a Christian. And everybody thought, oh, I'm such a good Christian guy. And we knew how to play the game. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. I knew I had kind of sort of accepted Jesus in my heart when I was 7 years old. I didn't know what I was doing. I'll be honest with you. I did that, but I didn't. It was like, wow, that's all it is. That's what we were taught. That's just, you ask them into your heart and away you go. Okay, well, that was easy enough. So on and on I lived. Well, we went to the Brethren Church there. I think I was about 13 years old. And I remember just all these years, just really hurting. We went there, and we were still going there. I think I was about 15-ish, maybe. At that point, had been going there for a couple of years, and I was. We started listening to some of the charity tapes, and I'll be honest, I had a really bad attitude towards those guys. I was like, man, these guys think they know what they're talking about. I cannot stand listening to that Denny Kenniston. That guy just, oh, he drove me crazy. It's like, oh yeah, the godly home. Yeah, we have all those tapes, nothing but a godly home here. And I was like, man, we need to throw him out the window. That's the attitude I had. I was sick and tired of listening to all that stuff. And we visited over at Vermont there when they had their fellowship there, and going to the Brethren Church sometimes. We were just kind of bumping around. And it's about 15 years old. And Andrew, we were at revival services, and I remember he stood up. Excuse me. And I realized that day, the peace that he had in his heart. And here they thought, I was the one that was the great godly Christian guy. And he was there making a commitment to the Lord. It was like, man, that's not where I'm at. I am so lost. My heart is just completely black. I don't know. I was like, God, I don't know where to go. I don't dare talk to anybody. I don't know who to talk to. And I remembered at that point, I was like, Lord, I need help. I don't know. I don't dare talk to my parents about it. I didn't know what to do. So, I think maybe it was that following, that same year, or maybe it was a year later. I can't remember exactly the time, but I realized I'd had enough. I couldn't go on anymore. And different messages that we heard. I went to Bible school. I think I was 16. Went to charity Bible school. And somehow, I don't know how they did, because of my attitude towards all those people. My parents were, you know, they thought, oh, you should go there. I think that would be good for you. And I was like, I don't think I want to go down there. No way. No. Too many people. I don't like the big groups. Nope. And they're like, oh, I think you should go. And my sister Renee had gone the year before, and so I went and was completely intimidated. I was like, man, way too many people. Like 600 students there, and then the weekend was thousands of people. I was like, whoa, this is way too much for me. You know, these prayer group times. It's like, I haven't shared anything in my life to anybody. I'm not sharing these to people I don't know. No way. I was like, nope, that's not happening. Well, I didn't really share a whole lot to anybody. I kind of kept pretending, but I realized I've got to change. We got back home. I realized, wow, I really lost. And we had these really nice walking trails out through our woods. We had 29 acres. We had all these groomed trails that we liked to keep up. And it was my favorite time of year. It was the fall time. And when walking out there, and I remember I was like, I've got to find God. And I had my Bible. And it's like, God, you gotta show me something. I don't know what I'm doing. And I remember I just sat down and I cried. I just wept. I said, God, you gotta be here somewhere. Otherwise, I don't know if you even exist. And right there, I met God. And I remember I just poured my heart out to God. It's like, God, I remember the weight of sin that was lifted off my shoulders was immense. I thought, man, I feel like I'm in dreamland. I was like, wow, I've never felt that way before. And I was like, I like music, I like singing, I like all kinds of, I just remember I started singing. I remember the song that I sang to myself. I didn't care at that point. Nobody was around. Even if people were around, I didn't care. I just started singing that chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I remember one of the psalms that I often read was Psalm 51. We all know that psalm. Probably almost by heart, but I'll turn to it. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Excuse me. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. This is I always really liked this chapter, because it was like just a prayer to God. You know, David's prayer after he sinned greatly with. And I just always really like this, especially this part where it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Take me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." I had a lot of struggles after that point. We all do. But I felt like I was just walking on air at that point. I was like, man, I wish I would have. But I was like, I felt like I just wanted to tell everybody. But I was like, wow, it was a real battle for me. They all think that, you know, people aren't going to believe me. Or, you know, I just had all these thoughts and doubts. But I was still just like, I just cannot believe. I God just said, I'm here. I'm waiting. And it was a while before I said anything to anybody. And life went on. I still had a lot of struggles, a lot of battles. I knew that in order to stay sane, in order to stay, you know, close to God, I had to be in His Word. I wasn't always as close as I should have been. We moved to decided that it was best that we moved out this way to the fellowship. At that point, the fellowship was here, but it was kind of, you know, we all know it was a little bit rocky at that point, trying to figure out leadership and all that. We moved out this way, and I had a lot of just struggles. Just, why did we even move here? There was, you know, situations and things that arose, enmity between our family and some other families, and loss of friendships, a lot of stuff that was devastating to me. It's like, man, God, what are you doing? Like, we moved 2 hours from, I liked where we lived. You know, it was a beautiful. God was starting to not be as faithful as I should have in my devotion time, and was just getting hard. I need help. I can't do this on my own. And went to work for Emmanuel. Was really blessed in being able to do that and learned a lot. Worked, you know, just enjoyed working. That was kind of one of my way out, so to speak. Like, when I was feeling really frustrated with home life, it's like, well, I'm just going to work. I don't care. And if I wasn't there working, it was in my shop and dad's barn working on whatever it was, small engines, whatever. I just worked. I just did stuff. I didn't want to be with anybody. Just leave me alone. I'm fine by myself. Leave me alone. I'm just... And things were just creeping in, bitterness, anger, frustration. And there again, it's like, God, I don't know how to deal with this. And I got really angry with different people, different ones in the fellowship, different people that I worked with. I got really, I'll be honest, some of you may not know, I got really angry with Emmanuel. I was like, just frustrated. I don't know why. I just got really, really frustrated. I was like, I don't know. I felt like I was gone again. I was like, God, I kept working there. I worked there for about almost just about 10 years. And I was just so angry, so frustrated. I was like, you know what? That's enough. I'm done. I don't know what to believe anymore. Stuff was said about different things. Things came up from some other people. A lot of untruths that were told about different situations and things. And I was like, you know what, forget it. So I moved on. 2017. That winter I didn't really do much for work. The Lord had provided, and I was able to just go through the winter. I didn't really have any obligations. Then I was like, well, I really need to do something. Went to work for a propane company for a couple months, I guess it was, kind of just as let's see where this goes. Did that for a little bit and realized mostly the company was just really odd the way they did things, and just decided that they didn't really have full-time work for me, and it was just not working out. I was like, okay. Then I went to work for, at that point, I was very unstable in my spiritual life. Of course, at this point, I had got, you know, we were obviously married at that point. I got married in 2011, you all know that. Had Josh and Mike since, but 2017, I'm sorry, 2018, I guess it was, or summer, 2019 maybe. Went to work for the heat pump company, hometown. Very unstable at that point. And thought, I enjoy, you know, mechanical stuff and working with refrigeration, things like that. So I'll do that. And so I went to work there. I'll be honest, I learned a lot. They taught me a lot. But it was probably not, I obviously didn't seek the Lord about that like I should have. And it was probably not the best thing for me. It was not a good idea. It was a very toxic environment for at least somebody like me. And I was at a very low place in my life. I got to the point where I was very accepting of whatever you want to say or however you want to talk. You know, it's probably not the Christian thing to do, but it was creeping into my life. Starting to say the same things, not in front of any of you guys or my family, but, you know, just cussing, swearing. And I was like, God, I'm gone. Like, whoa. I was getting very, very scared. I was so far away from God. And I remember getting so discouraged. Like, I am lost. Man, I remember that day that I got converted. I am so far from that. I felt so far removed from God. I was like, where do I go? I don't know. I remember being so discouraged, and to the point where I would even talk to Renee and I said, I don't even think there's a God anymore. I don't think he doesn't exist. I don't think he's there. This is ridiculous. I'm this should not be. That was really hard on her. I remember different individuals knew that I was deeply hurting and in serious shape. They were a huge help to me in that time. And they prayed with me, and I was like, I don't know why they're wasting their time on me. I'm just miserable wreck. Well, they should go and waste their time on somebody else. But those people had a hurt too in their life. They had been hurt too in their life and had been redeemed. And they wanted me to be redeemed as well, once again. And I realized, there's a reason why these people are pouring their time and effort into my life. It's because they have godly love in their life, and that's what I wanted. And I remember I had to get on my knees and desperately cry out to God, and he redeemed me once again. He was always there. I just, because of the devil and his lies and the wrong people that I was around, I guess I lost sight. I wasn't looking in the right direction. I had so much bitterness from past things that I realized after that point, I need to deal with these things. If I don't deal with these things, it's just going to keep happening over and over and over and over again. And so I knew I had people to go to talk to, and confess, repent, make things right in my life. Made things right between me and the Lord, between my family, my wife and children. And I remember once again, it was like, God, I know you're there. I just could sense his His just the power that God has is amazing. If you don't believe me, maybe it's because you haven't experienced it. Or maybe you're in the place that I got to where you were there and then you lost sight. And now maybe you're kind of thinking, oh, maybe he really isn't there. I'm telling you guys, friends, he's real. He is so real. Psalm 61, I always really liked. I read that here. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. I always enjoyed that. I always enjoyed all the psalms. They were always encouraging me. If you feel like you're the only one that's struggling today, I guarantee you're not. You're not the only one. I've been there. There's a lot of stuff that I've done. There's a lot of stuff that I've come through and out. There's a lot. Maybe some people here, maybe a lot of people that are listening in, I don't know. Maybe you're dealing with way more than I've ever dealt with. I don't know. I'm sure there is. But you're not alone. Nobody's alone. God is there, and there are Christian people in this fellowship and in other places that want to see each one redeemed. Galatians 2:20. We know what that says, I think, but I'll read it here. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let God into your life. It will forever change you. And stay with him. Get into a church where there is true godly love. That is a huge part. Be with people. Surround yourself with the right people. If that means you have to quit your job because you just can't hang out with that particular group, it doesn't matter. If it's not spiritually well for you, then first and foremost, your spiritual life is what's important. Not because you can make X amount of dollars. Who cares? Who cares about that stuff? By the way, I'm not saying that I made up a ton of money at Hometown. That wasn't the reason why I was there. I just thought, well, this is something different. I'll try that. Well, that was a mistake. Not a mistake in the sense that I did learn a lot with, you know, some things that I was able to get some experience with. But was it worth it spiritually? No, it was not. God does forgive, and it's amazing to me when I look at each one of you and look at the people around, when I drive down the road, the difference that I now can have because of what God has been able to do in my life. It's like, wow, I see things in a totally different light, and each one of us, each one of you, each person can too. You see people as people, as God's creation. And it's like, they're lost. They need Jesus just as much as I do. I didn't see that before. I would drive down the road, I'd be like, that guy's in my way, get out of my way. You know, it was like, man, what'd you cut me off for? You know, that was rude. It was like, well, my attitude wasn't any better than him. Now it's like, you know what? When people are hurting, people all around us are hurting, we have had opportunity to come out of that because of God's love. I appreciate each one of the brothers that were here that took time to listen to me, to help me deal with my problems. We have a huge opportunity. We have a huge opportunity in this world to be a beacon of light. Let's be that beacon of light. I don't share all this because I want people to say, wow, you've come through a lot. Praise the Lord. You know, none of this is for my honor and glory. This is to encourage each one of you to see what God has done in my life. He can do the same for each one of you. He can do the same for each one of those souls that are walking around. If that's in Maine, Newport, Bangor, or across the ocean, doesn't matter where it is. But it might be that those people don't know where to turn because they need us to help show them. They need to see God's love in our lives. Sometimes it's just simply being a friend, simply saying kind words, responding in a Christ-like way. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. So often, I'll confess, I still deal with getting angry. Sometimes I get really frustrated and it's like, why? Some of you may not know that. You might think, well, that guy's just a mellow guy. How could he ever get angry? I've had a lot of people say that to me. It's like, well, you haven't seen me in my flesh, maybe, as much as... Maybe sometimes you should. No, maybe not, but you know what I mean. I deal with it. It's real stuff. But I have to give it over to the Lord. And I just want to encourage each one of us that we have a body here of godly people. People that really love the Lord. I'm telling you that because I've been through quite a number of churches growing up. And I'm not saying, it's not for me to judge, but I'm not saying that they didn't have God's love in their heart. I believe that a lot of them did. But it was just different. I don't know how to explain it. It was just very different. But This is the longest church that I've ever been a part of in my entire life. And we jumped a lot from church to church growing up. And I realized that's not healthy for a family. That's not healthy for children. We need to stay committed. And I really do sense God's love here and the desire to help each other along, and that is a big thing for each one. So, just to encourage each one of us, be a beacon of light where we are. If you haven't come to know Jesus, He's real, He's there, He's waiting for each one of us to just say, okay, Lord. That's what I had to share this morning. I hope it was a blessing to each one of you, and just remember that, whether it be Melvin, Emmanuel, Randy, any of the other brothers, myself, anyone, if you have struggles, don't think that, oh, he can't listen. He's not going to want to listen. He's not going to understand. Actually, that's quite the opposite. And that's what each one of us desires. That you can come to any of us and say, look, I'm struggling with this thing. It doesn't matter what it is. Don't be ashamed of it. I mean, be ashamed of it in the sense that I can't believe that I did this, but I need help. Come to the point where you can say, look, brother, help me. Lead me in the right direction. I'm stuck. I'm lost. I don't know where to go. I didn't do that. I didn't know how to do that. Maybe I wasn't taught that way. God has showed me there's a better way. May each one of you be blessed this morning.